Okay, so now we can, we had like 2 weeks where we did universal sugyot, right? We did the sugya of Yamin, and we did the sugya of Holacha, so we spent a lot of time in Zvachim, and now we can dive back into the actual parak learning, right? Fifth parak of Maseches Yuma. Mem Chasim Abeis, nice short amid, and it's short because of a Tosfot, which we didn't even do, so that's like the best of all worlds. So let's dive in. Does anybody want to read the Gemara, just the just Rav Sheshes until the bottom of the Amud, to get our feet wet over here. Yeah, Baamine Meir Sheshes. Okay, so let's actually stop there. Let's stop and talk about the question for a second. So what's the question we're asking Rav Sheshes?
Can you do a halacha b'small?
So what do we think about that, given what we've done the last couple of weeks?
Like, what's the answer, or what?
What's behind the question? What assumptions have to be behind the question?
That halacha is a boda.
Excellent, right? Why is that?
Because if it's not, then it wouldn't matter.
Right, 100%, right, as we said, right, Yamin is, you need Atzmo Shel Kohen, right, so that's Yamin, so we're asking Halacha B'smol, so we're probably assuming that Halacha is an Avodah, then the question is, does it need Yamin or Smol? But why would we be asking if Halacha needs Yamin or Smol? So what is that?
Well, didn't we see Rashi with the lights?
We did, but in other words, why are we asking Rav Sheshes whether halacha of all the avodos, right? Why is halacha the only one we're asking him whether it needs yamin or not?
Yes.
100%, right? In other words, you know, it's like in Yanei Diyuma with, you know, why is Israel the only nation in the world where nobody recognizes its capital, right? So like, why is halacha the only avoda where nobody will give it Yamin, right? Why is it the only one where people are questioning its Yamin status? So the answer is, right, we're probably asking Rav Sheshes, right, is halacha a full-fledged avoda or not? And one way we'll express it being a not full-fledged avoda is that it's not going to have the requirement of Yamin, 100%. Right, so that's like, that's an important question. So that's, so what does he say? So I'm Rav Sheshes. Yeah, period, right? So that's so he brings them an answer, right? What's the source he answers from?
From our Gemara.
Excellent. Right? What's the case in this Braisa or Mishnah?
When he's doing the halacha of the Torah, and he has one thing in one hand, one in the other.
Right, so what does that prove?
That you can do it with small.
Right, because just like the Kohen Gadol can carry the Ketores in his left hand, so too all other halachos can be done with the left hand. Okay, so Rav Sheshes has to be making an assumption or two in that answer, right? If he's going to extrapolate from the halacha of the Ketores to halacha of everything else, right? So what basic assumption does he have to make?
That halacha of the Ketores has the same status as halacha of the Zayin.
Exactly, right? They were talking about the halacha of the Ketores since the Kodesh HaKadoshim is a regular halacha and therefore can be compared to everything else, right? That's what Rav Sheshes has to assume. Okay, now the Gemara asks, why was he learning from that source? He should learn from a different Mishnah.
Base Ora.
Yeah, I think what that means is we're talking about the parts of the animal that you're bringing to the Mizbeach, right? So this is a little bit graphic. One second. So you have the leg. You have the leg of the animal, right? So base ora lachutz would mean that. So you cut the leg off of the body of the animal, right? So you should hold it in such a way that the cut should be facing the Kohen so that it's not visible to the outside, because that's probably a little bit gruesome, right? So just the nice intact leg is what everyone else will see. So that's what it means by base ora lachutz. But so the important point for the Mishnah, right? Exactly, right? So you carry, that's another halacha, you're carrying the limb to the Mizbeach with the left hand. So why not learn from there? Okay. Great, right? So what's the difference between the halacha of the Ketores and the halacha of one of the Evarim, one of the limbs that goes to the Mizbeach? Right, so if I only had the source from the Mizbeach, why could I extrapolate from there to everything else or not? No, right, because
it is ma'akir kapara.
Exactly, right. You have to get the blood to the Mizbeach, otherwise there's no kapara. And likewise, you have to get the Ketores to the Kodesh HaKadashim, or else you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of the Ketores, right? But you do not need to, if you fail to burn the limbs of the animal, you still have fulfilled the kapara from the carbon, right? So if we just had that, that wouldn't work, right? Because what distinction would we make? We would say, you know, some halachas are more important and some halachas are less important, right? The way we set up Rav Sheshes was that the question is halacha an avoda chashuva or not? So if all we had was the limbs, so we could say, yeah, halacha is chashuv when it's a chashuv situation, right? But it's not chashuv when it's not a chashuv situation. So therefore, right, Rav Sheshes brings in a very chashuv situation, the situation of bringing the Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadashim. Okay, so we don't need to read the rest of the Gemara inside, right? But in the end, let's just read two more lines just to see where Rav Sheshes goes down. Let's read two more lines on Mem Tes Vav Aleph. Meisvei.
Azar ve'onein shibir v'amlam mekabala v'holacha v'zurika pasal. V'chein yoshein v'chein smol pasal.
Bang, right, so that's a pretty thorough rejection, right? Tiyuvta, which is more strong than kasha, although Tosos may have had the gear, so kasha. But anyway, right, so what is the Brisa saying, right? All these things that are problematic with halacha, and so what do we have in there which is important to us?
Small,
right, along with zar, which, you know, that's a good one, right? That has to be a kohen, as we talked about before, right? And he can't be in mourning, he can't be drunk, he can't be a baal mum. And we even lumped in halacha with what else?
With the other avodas.
Yeah, exactly. Right? We lumped it in with Kabbalah and Zrika, right? So for all three of these, small is possible. So Rav Sheshes has clearly been rejected. So what we need to figure out is two things, right? Number one, Rav Sheshes had made the argument that we can extrapolate from the Ketores of Kodesh HaKadashim, from the halacha of the Ketores, we can extrapolate from that to all other halachos. Apparently that's not the case, right? So we need to figure out why, right? What's going to make Ketores different from everything else, and why did Rav Sheshes not think that's the case, right? Why did Rav Sheshes think that he could extrapolate, and we think that we can't? And number two, so the sugya is taken for granted, and for good reason, because it's our Mishnah, right? But that our Mishnah taught us that halacha of the Ketores can be done with the left hand. So we need to figure out. We need to figure out why.
Why,
right? Which will be essential. That really has to happen first, because we have to figure out how halacha of the Ketores can be done with the left hand, or to figure out if that can be extrapolated to everything else or not. Okay, good. Right. So that's the question we've got now. Right. Rav Sheshes seemed to be trying to make halacha a real avoda, a real not chashuv avoda. Right. Last week we saw Tosfos calling it an avoda that's not chashuv, and we had the Rambam calling it an avoda which is chashuv. So Rav Sheshes is trying to make it like mamish, not chashuv, right? That's been rejected. The question we've got to figure out is why. What's going on in the relationship between Ketores, halacha of everything else, and why don't you need to use the right hand for halacha of the Ketores, right? After all, if all avoda needs to be done with the right hand, and you definitely need your Kohen Gadol to do your Ketores, right? So why is that okay? So what do we know? Any information we have on, or any ideas we have as to why the Kohen Gadol could use his left hand when walking in the Ketores?
Because that, maybe that's not part of the actual bringing of the Ketores in the same way that the bringing the Don is sort of already part of the Shkitas. Like a part of that whole process,
in some sense. Interesting. You know, as you're saying that in blood, I have my talich hakrava, right? So I have my shchita, kabbalah, holacha,
mm-hmm.
zrika, and in Ketores, I don't have a parallel process.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's true.
Okay, why wouldn't that be true?
Because I don't know. I guess just because, like, the whole... I guess it all is ritualized, so I can't really back it up. But I was sort of thinking, like, when the Kohen just scoops out the Ketoret and puts it in his hands and whatever, like, that's not really the ikar of bringing the Ketoret. The main part is when you're actually in the Kodesh HaKodashim, like, you know, burning it. But you could probably say the same. Like, if I'm making that argument... I would
right, because what's the main avoda of the Karbanos?
Right, same.
The Zrika, right?
Yeah.
So we could, I mean, the Ritva actually does this explicitly. He says, yeah, we have four that line up perfectly. We have Chafina, which links to Shchita, and then we have, you put it in your pan, which links to Kabbalah, and then you walk it in, which is Halacha, and then you have burning the Ketores, which lines up to Zrika. So that's a bit of a Chiddush, but I think we probably would have the same framework, right? So in terms of that... It's probably hard to differentiate.
Maybe one, the other just kind of so heavy and you wouldn't be able to possibly hold it after.
Right, so where is that coming from? That was from the Gemara, right? That was the Gemara at the beginning of the parak, right? When the Gemara was asking, why are you using this this spoon, right? Or this, yeah, right? This kaf. Why are you using this big ladle? Ladle, that's the right word, right? Because what do the pasuk say you're supposed to use? What should the kohen use to melochafnav, right? He's supposed to use melochafnav to hold the ketores. So where does the spoon come from? So the Gemara answered very, very simple, right? Kohen Gadol has two hands, not three, right? And he has to hold two handfuls of ketores, and he has to hold the coals. And the Gemara asked, well, why can't he just hold, you know, do two separate trips? And the Gemara said, because the pasuk said, you go in once, right? And that was apparently significant. You only have one shot to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. So since it's impossible, therefore we allow the spoon. And then the Gemara asked, right, well, wait, why are you carrying the coals in the right hand and the incense in the left hand? Which is more important, the coals or the incense?
Incense,
right? The Ketores. Yeah, right, so since it's heavy, so therefore we let you switch, right? So maybe, you know, just the fact that it's heavy and difficult is what allows the holacha to be, of the ketores to be done with the right hand. Compelling or a little surprising?
A little surprising, because, like, if it's possible, then it's possible.
Exactly, right? If there's a holacha that you have to do your holacha with your right hand, then just because it's, like, a little heavy, right, you just kind of got a sweat, is that really enough of a reason to allow it? The Rishon who seems to say the answer is yes?
The Rambam,
right? Which is a problem we'll have to get into. Okay, now it's important to recognize that the Gemara on Mem Zion never actually said that holacha b'smol, right? Halacha with the left hand is mutter because it's impossible. Right, the Gemara never said that. It's a you can read it in the Gemara, not so difficultly, but it's not what it wasn't like there on the table. So not only is it a bit of a difficult read conceptually, you know, one thing if like the Gemara really seemed to say it, and we had to reckon with, you know, a difficult text in the Gemara, we had to come up with a svara for. But here it's not even like a beferish Gemara, right? It's a reasonable conclusion textually, but it's not a mukhrach conclusion textually. So if it's not mukhrach textually and it's difficult logically, then we'd be a little bit hesitant. Okay, but that's definitely a piece.
Why do we say it's not mukhrach?
Because the Gemara, it's not like the Gemara ever asked, right? Minayin she halacha b'smol mutter, right? The Gemara did ask, why do you use the spoon? And the Gemara said for the kaf. So there we said it's e efshar, right? The Gemara said, Hilkach lo efshar, but kevin de lo efshar avdinan kid ashachan b'nasiyim, right? Just like when they started the Mishkan, so all the Nasiyim brought their kaf of Ketores. So too, since it's e efshar, you can use a kaf. But the Gemara never said, and since it's e efshar, you can use your left hand, right? The Gemara continues and asks, well, why are you using right and left the wrong way? And then the Gemara just answers, because it's heavy. So that's what I mean. Okay, so that's one Gemara. Again, a reasonable conclusion, but not definitive and logically difficult. There's a second Gemara, which takes up this this problem. Right? Were you guys able to see the Gemara in Menachos at all? Okay, so excellent. So what's going on in the Sugya in Menachos? There's the Mishnah. Yeah, let's get the background. What's up in the Mishnah? Important halacha.
That if you had a korban that was tamei, it would burn anyway, then the tzitz works to fix that problem, but if you would say
that
it doesn't.
Right. Which is a fascinating idea, right? Because the pasuk says, V'nasa arona sabona kadshim, right? That the tzitz, the Torah says that the tzitz somehow carries a certain sin in kadshim, right? Avona kadshim. The only problem with the chumash, or not a problem, but like the only interpretive difficulty we have is that the Torah just tells us Avona Kadshim without specifying what that is, right? So the Mishnah tells us that Avona Kadshim is Tame, right? That if something becomes Tame, so you can't bring it, but if you do B'dieved, it will be acceptable. So the Gemara wants to know, how do I know that Tzitz saves Tame, right? There are many other problems in the Mikdash, so why is Tame the one which gets saved? So the Gemara's answer, right, is an interesting one. It makes a lot of sense. It's just an interesting idea, right? The Gemara answers that, well, you know, if we had all the problems in the Mikdash, so if we had to pick out one which should be saved by the tzitz, so what's a reasonable criteria for which problem should be the one that gets saved by the tzitz?
Something that can work in some scenario.
Yeah, right, and why should that be?
Because then it's not as fundamentally problematic.
100%, right? The existence of an exception, right, proves that the psul itself is not as severe, right? That's the underlying logic, right? So since we have a certain case where tuma is accepted without the tzitz, so it makes sense, right, that in general that's the problem which tzitz will save. What's the case where tuma is accepted in karbanos without the tzitz's help? Yeah, exactly, right? And what? Why? What's the halakha concept there? Exactly, right? Tuma hutra betzibur, right? Or tuma dechuya betzibur. That's a whole story. But exactly, right? Because since if you have a situation where you have a carbon of the tzibur or the tzibur offering karbanos and there's tuma, right? So that's not a problem, right? So too, the tzitz will save all cases of tuma. Okay, so now, If that's the only source we have, right, that the tzitz is meratza, the tzitz saves tumah, is because, well, tumah has one case where it's okay. So, of course, what's the Gemara going to do next? Right, if tumah is okay because there is an exception, right, of all the problems, we pick tumah as the one which tzitz saves, because tumah has the exception. So we're going to say, well, all the other psulim in the mikdash, right, so could we find another psul in the Mikdash which has an exception, which is acceptable, right? If we could, then this would be sunk, right? Because why are you picking out tuma? You should pick out, you know, some other case in the world of kadshim, which has an exception case, an exceptional case, which is mutter, right? So what's the exceptional case which the Gemara brings, which should be near and dear to us? Solon Yom Kippur, right? What about the holacha, right? So we should say anytime a kohen does an avoda with the left hand, that tzitz should save it, right? All lefty avodah should be saved because the Kohen Gadol walks in the Ketoros with his left hand on Yom Kippur, right? And what does the Gemara answer? We have two answers, but one gets much more pressed than the other. All right, so let's read it. So the Gemara asks, so I'll just read this part. So Maskefla Rabbi Ilas, this is the second little paragraph of Menachos Chafemet Aleph. Right, so Maskefla Rabbi Ilah, everybody got that? Yeah, okay, good. So he asks a logical question. Ema avon small, right? We should say that tzitz should save the sin of doing a voda with your left hand. Why? Shehutr michlalo biyom hakipur, right? Because that was allowed in the exceptional case of Yom Kippur, right? I.e., right, Fels and Rashi, right, walking in the Ketores with the left hand. So Amalei Abaye says that's a bad argument. Why? Amar kra avon, right? When the Torah says that the tzitz is saving, so the tzitz is saving from a avon, right? Different translation of avon would be
sin,
right? So if it's a sin, then it means that there has to be something which is problematic and that the tzitz is saving, right? Avon shahayabo, that there was a sin, v'dachisiv, right? But it was it got wiped away, right? So tuma dechuya betzibur, right? But lafuki yom kippurim dehechshiro basmolhu, right? But Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol is doing the avodah with his left hand, So that's not a reality where there was a problem, right? But we, you know, we begrudgingly allowed it because we had to. That's how it's done, right? It's hechsher b'smol. It's how do you translate? Honestly, I'm not sure. How would you guys translate hechsher b'smol?
They made it hechsher b'smol. Like,
it
hurt. Right.
So yeah, that sounds derabanani, which it can't be, right? That's why I'm a little bit leery. Or is it can't be? It's hechsher shelo b'smol, right? It's hechsher is b'smol. I'm not sure how to translate that into English, but I think we understand what that means, right? It's hechsher is b'smol. Like it's done b'smol. That's not a problem. That's how it's done. So that's Abaye's answer, right? So Abaye's answer is you can't, right? We're sticking with tumah because tumah has one exception which we begrudgingly allow. That's tumah b'tzibur, let's say. Right, and so then in all other cases, the tzitz will save the day. Whereas when it comes to smol, so the one exception where smol works, that's not a begrudging exception. That's just the way it's legislated. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's what Abaye says. And then Rav Ashi gives an answer which gets much less press, probably because Abaye's answer is just very good svara. Rav Ashi's is more of a diak. Rav Ashi says avon hakadshim. Right, so the pasuk said the sin of the, of the holies, right? Velo avon ha makdishin, and not the sin of, those who are holying, right? So that implies that it has to be the tzitz is saving where there's a problem in the chafza, right? And not where there's a problem in the gavra, right? Rav Ashi is making the chafza gavra distinction over here. So small is obviously a psul in the gavra, right? Because the kohen is using the wrong hand. So that can't be what the tzitz is working for just because it doesn't fit it into the pasuk. Okay. But, right, we have something very important from Abaye, right? Because Abaye has argued that where do we know that the smol is kasher for halacha? And where is it coming from? That the kohen gadol can walk in the ketores with his left hand. Okay, according to Abaye, where do we get this from that the ketores can be walked in with the left hand?
From the word avon.
So take a look at the Rashi Dibur Hamaskil Lafu Gesmol. Right here on page number 2.
I'm glad you have it. My computer is really small. Let me stop the apps or scroll. So I'm looking at the grid.
Honestly, if you want, I can give you mine because I have all the other sources coming up. I have on in book form, so I can justify having brought these books, which I always bring and never use. So right, I mean, there's no chiddush here. Rashi just says that there's no avon dahachi hu hachshir matasa. This is just how you do it, right? If you read the psukim, so it's just clear from the psukim that you have to be using your... It's clear he's using his left hand. It's implicit in the Torah that the Kohen Gadol is using his left hand, right? Because if he's bringing everything in at one shot, then, which we know he's doing, then we know that the Torah is legislating use of the left hand. So what this seems to be saying is that why can you use the left hand for the Ketores? Because the pasuk said so, right? If you're the inescapable conclusion of reading the Parsha Sachrimos is that the Torah has allowed the Kohen Gadol to do the halacha of the Ketores with his left hand. Now you could ask why that is, but the bottom line is that it's where does it come from? It just comes from my read of the psukim, right? So this is a little bit different than what we said before on Daf Mem Zayin, because Daf Mem Zayin we said the source for being able to walk the Ketores with your left hand is because it's impossible otherwise. here, from Menachos, we're not making a judgment call. We're not saying possible, impossible. We're just saying that's the clear conclusion you get from the Pesukim. Right? Who allowed me to use my left hand to walk in the Ketores? The Pesukim did, right? Torah did. God did. When he said that I bring in my Ketores and I bring in my coals, or when I bring, let's put it this way, Melo Chafnav, right? If I'm bringing in two hands full of Ketores, so clearly I'm using the left hand. Right? So that comes out of Abaye. And you kind of understand why Abaye gets so much repressed in Ravashi, because it's a very compelling point, right? You can't argue that the tzitz, that the tzitz should save from the sin of halacha. There's no sin at all, right? This isn't a dechuya. This is a hutra. This is just the way the Torah, this is just what the halacha is. This is what the Torah said to do. So if that's the case, right, then you really can't compare it to anything else. Okay, so that's what we get from Menachos Chafei. So we have a couple of problems. Problem number one is, does this work with Rav Sheshes? Right, Rav Sheshes wanted to make his general extrapolation from Holacha of the Ketores to Holacha of everything else. So, does Menachos Chafei work with Rav Sheshes, or is it a little bit not so great?
Perhaps not, because the pasuk specifically talking about Holachas Ketores.
Exactly, right? If if Rav Sheshes is right, and Rav Sheshes is saying, well, we can extrapolate from Ketores of from halacha Ketores to halacha everything else, well then, first of all, the Abaye didn't say that. Abaye said no, right? We have this special, unique reality when it comes to halacha of Ketores. And furthermore, if Rav Sheshes is right, then we could have asked the tzitz meratzah question from all other halacha b'smol, right? Because Rav Sheshes would say we have halacha b'smol of Ketores. We extrapolate from there all halacha b'smol, and then we could talk about ritzoy tzitz on all smols. Abaye certainly makes it sound like there's something different about halacha of the Ketores, right? Whereas Rav Sheshes, his whole thesis was that I can extrapolate from halacha Ketores to all other halachos, right? Abaye's whole point seems to be that's not the case. It's actually a unique exception from the Pesukim. So that's one point, right? What's Rav Sheshes doing, right? How does Rav Sheshes explain Ritzoy Tzitz, applying specifically to Tumah? That's problem one. You could give a very simple answer, right? Which is even if Rav Sheshes disagrees with Abaye, so how could he explain the Ritzoy Tzitz situation? He thinks Abaye is incorrect. So what's he going to do? He reads the Gemara and Menachos Chafei. Right, he doesn't like Abaye, but he could have another option. You could possibly like Ravashi, right? I haven't seen anyone say that, but in theory, right, there's no reason why you couldn't say that Rav Sheshes would just read the Gemara like Ravashi, in which case he wouldn't have a problem. Okay, the Rav didn't want to do that, and probably because the Rav thought that Abaye's logic was like so compelling that how could it be that Rav Sheshes would turn it down? Okay, that's point one. Point two, the bigger problem, we'll spend more time on, is I open the Rambam. What does the Rambam tell me? It's okay, right? So let's read it, Matt. You want to take it? Let's read this. Let's read this carefully. Right. Is that mahadin or should we minhadin? Okay. Okay, what should you have done?
You should have had the Macha on your right. Macha on your left, it says. The Ketores should be in your right hand.
Exactly, right? The coals, the Macha, yeah, with the coals should be in the left, Kaf should be in the
right. So basically, because it's very heavy, and he also adds that it's very hot.
Very hot, right?
Which I think is a weird reason.
Yeah, I don't
know. Like,
I'll experiment.
More
heat resistant than left hand. The general endurance of the Kangalo is being tested.
Regardless, I think the weight thing makes more sense.
Okay, all right, here, yeah. I'll experiment after. Okay, so fine. So because of these difficulties, I nebuch.
Right.
Okay, right. So he carries it in with his left hand, then he goes all the way to the Aron Kodesh. Interesting that he includes getting to the Aron in this halacha.
I mean, I assume that he was just trying to emphasize the fact that, like, how okay it is. Like, you go all the way up to the Aron.
Oh, interesting.
With it in your left hand, like, nothing to worry.
Mm-hmm.
The Aron's right there.
I haven't thought of that. Cool. Okay, so the Rambam says that, right, the reason why you can use your left hand for the Ketores is because it was... He doesn't even say e-f-shar. He says, well, enu yachal. I guess he was not able to handle it, right? Enu yachal the sovla. Okay, right, so all the nosei kelim jump on the Rambam, right, and they all ask, like, what kind of weak reason is this? Right, if we have a din, if we have a halacha that smol is pasul for avodos, right, and we should remember, right, for this is important. Our evidence from last week was, what was the Rambam's position on halacha? Take a look, try to recall. We got it from Psuli HaMikdashim Aleph Chaf Gimel.
Halacha has to be done, not
the number, right? Yeah, right. In Psuli HaMikdashim Aleph Chaf Gimel, the Rambam ruled that if you did a halacha without walking, so it's pasul. So it's pasul. That means that you must do a halacha, right? The Rambam, unlike Tosfos, who thought that halacha is an avoda, but you can skip it if you arrange it in a certain way. Right, the Rambam thought that holacha must not be skipped. Seemed like he thought it was an avoda just like any other. Right, and then here, for this kind of flimsy rationale, apparently, he's allowing you to walk the Ketores with your left hand. And this isn't like any ordinary holacha. This is like, you know, the most important avoda of the whole year. Right, and you're walking it in with your left hand. So very, very surprising. Okay, so what do we have? So point one, I just thought this was, you know, so you have like, you know, answer one, answer two, and answer three. So kind of answer zero comes from the Lacha Mishnah, right? Because Lacha Mishnah doesn't give an answer, but he kind of capitalizes on this point because he says, yeah, right, this is such a bad or unconvincing reason to allow walking the Torah with your left hand. Ah, what does this explain? If this is such an unconvincing reason to explain holacha b'smol, so what can I learn from here?
That it's not possible for
them. Yeah. Well, who would be very happy to say that I have a really unconvincing reason to matir holacha b'smol of the Ketores of Yom Kippur?
Can you say that again?
Yeah. Right. So we're saying that the reason for the supposed unique heter of walking the Ketores with your left hand is very unconvincing as a unique reason to allow walking the Ketores with your left hand. So we've won a Moro, should be happy with that. Rav Sheshes, right? Because Rav Sheshes is going to say, look, you're going to really tell me, right, that you know, all other halachos are 100% glot, right, and they need yamin, no question. Oh, we have one unique exception, right? The halacha of the Ketores is the Jerusalem of halachos, right? And there you don't need yamin just because it's difficult. It's hard to swallow, right? So Lacha Mishnah says that the kasha on the Rambam is the svara of Rav Sheshes, right? The very fact that it's so difficult to explain what's unique about this halacha that it can be done with the left hand, so argues Rav Sheshes. Oh, it must be that there's something unique about walking the Ketores with your left hand, right? Rather, that it indicates, right? What does it indicate? The fact that you can walk your Ketores with your left hand?
You can walk everything else,
right? You can walk everything else. Because the reason that we're given to uniquely allow halacha of the Ketores with the left hand isn't so compelling. right? So that's what I call like the zeroth answer, right? Because it's not an answer for the Rambam, but it just helps highlight, you know, the other position. Okay. So let's take a look at the Kesef Mishnah. Kesef Mishnah is very short, but there's stuff to unpack here. He presents two different answers. One we really should have done last week in the sense of this Kesef Mishnah is quoted in when people do the Sugya of Halacha, but we had to save it for this week because it's really relevant to us over here. Okay. Anyway, wanna try it? Let's take on the Kesef Mishnah. Two answers. Read them one by one. Okay. Great. Kashali.
Kivan shehalacha b'smol pisalet hayach shirokan mitnei tami halalim. So if you say it, so you know, his question is if halacha b'smol is possible, then how could we be machshir here according to these reasons? Like,
right.
Why does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Rav Shar, the halacha b'smol lo pasla ala mizir rabbanan.
Well, okay. So let's so, chew on that.
Right, that's the point of saying it's not possible to be matured for it's kind of reason, but it's already a weaker basis of the psoll, so you're able to say this is a compelling enough reason.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? So we had Kohen,
yeah,
and Yad, those were full drashos.
Yeah.
So, you know, for Zrika,
yeah,
that was Doraisa, and for,
yeah,
Kabbalah, that was Doraisa. So, you know, so the Kesef Mishnah says, oh, Holacha midoraisa doesn't need small. Okay, so before we get this far, so how does that answer the question? How's that going to explain the read of the Rambam?
Because that explains why the Rambam's comfortable saying that you could use the right hand. It's because it's the left hand for the sword, because the coals are too heavy.
Right. What kind of convincing reason is heavy hot coals?
It's convincing up for the Rabbanan.
Exactly, right? The Rabbanan, you know, the Rabbanan, they made the problem, they make the solution, right? So they said you have to do the halacha b'yamin. Okay, when it's difficult, right, then they'll allow you to get off, right? So that's how it answers the Rambam. But what problems do we have? Right. If this is true, what does it tell us about halacha?
That it's a different status.
Yeah, majorly. Right. This is like a massive. You know, this is almost Rabbi Shimon. Right. Rabbi Shimon, who's the Tana, who said that you don't need that it can't passel things with lishma. So here we have Kesef Mishnah saying for the Rambam that you don't need the right hand mida oraisa. Right. Rav Sheshes was right. Rav Sheshes was right on a d'oraisa level. So is that why wouldn't we want to say that specifically in the Rambam?
Because he thinks that halacha is always us.
Yeah, puzzle. Exactly. Right. How do you square this with Psula Hamakdash and Aleph Chaf Gimel? The Rambam said you always have to do halacha. So our conclusion from there was that it seems like he thinks that it's an avoda chashuva just like any other. Right. And here the Kesef Mishnah wants to argue that it's midrabbanan. So that's. That's very hard. That's a very hard answer to swallow. But it shows how strong the question is that he's willing to propose it. Yeah. Okay. It's interesting. In the back of the Frankels they have like the Sefer Halikutim, for Avodah Yom Kippurim they have the Sefer Mayim Chaim in full, which was written by the Pri Chadash, the Prach. So he actually has another objection to the Kesef Mishnah, the Pri Chadash, and he says, he just quotes the Sheet of the Chachamim last week. Right? He says, well, if we're gonna say that halacha is pasul shalol lishma midoraisa, then presumably we'll say that it's pasul if it's bismol also midoraisa, because he's assuming that both of those are functions of being an avoda, which makes a lot of sense from what we've seen the last couple of weeks. So that's another point that he raises an objection to the Kesef Mishnah. Okay, but that's one answer on the board. Okay, let's read answer number two. And this one we should read carefully, because we'll see. Question to ask is how much of answer number one is bleeding into answer number two?
Yeah.
So let's see it. Yeah.
Mishum to Yeshar, Shalo Behiluch of Torah, Lo Pasla, Shalo Behiluch of Torah, Lo Pasla, Lo Behati of Shar. So even though Holacha is small, with when we're talking about Dam, is Pasla Mido Raita, because you can't bring, like, you need to walk it over, basically, like, it, the halacha is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
With Torah, it's not pasul. Maybe, like, because that doesn't apply, is that why I'm saying? I don't, it's not, with Torah, that's not, it's not pasul, and the Torah makes it kosher.
Right. I think you're totally picking up on something, that there's a bit of a failure of explanation here.
Right.
Right. Or,
because it's inherently confusing, though. If they're saying that the Torah like presents both the lechatchila and the avodah solutions, but then they're both different.
No, in this particular line, it doesn't explain why, like, what the parallel is now with the Torah. Like, the Dam, with the Dam, it would be puzzle with small because you need to do halacha in order to, like, the halacha is necessary there, but why? So then, I guess the logic would be that it's not necessary with Torah? Do you get my question?
Yeah, in other words, it sounds like he's saying, oh, for the Karbanos, it's Efshar below Hilach, but for the Ketores, it's Efshar below Hilach. But,
why?
Yeah, and worse than why, like, no. Right? It is not possible without Hilach. That was one of Reish Lakish's cases where, right, we had the objectively needed halacha, right? You must walk it to get it into the Kodesh HaKadashim.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that can't be what he means. So there's a hint to what he means, because those last three words, "Bahachi ichshar rachmana." So that should evoke, does that ring any bells? "Bahachi ichshar rachmana."
Yeah.
Was it?
Said that about.
Was he referencing?
The small.
One of the Makaras we saw.
The Menachos.
Exactly, right? He's referencing the Gemara Menachos. You know, oh, right, the Torah, that's just how the Torah allowed it, right? The Torah, the way the Torah said it was you do the halacha b'small. So what he seems to be doing is saying, either Rambam gave a bad answer, or gave an unconvincing reason, and the answer is that, you know, there's a good reason in Menachos.
But the Menachos is not explained either.
Yeah, but and what do you do, I mean... And even if it was, that's not what the Rambam said, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can't say, look, we had this great reason sitting in Menachos. The Rambam didn't give it, so what's the answer why the Rambam didn't give it? Oh, the Rambam gave it. That's a hard move to pull. So what he meant is made a little bit clearer by the Mari Korkus. Mari Korkus, were you guys able to get it?
Yeah.
Okay, because I didn't realize it wasn't on Bar Ilan.
Yeah, but it's on.
I know it's in the Frankel, so I want to make sure that, exactly. Okay, good. Right, so the Mari Korkus, right?
Wait, who is he?
He actually looked this up this morning, so I can answer. Rabbi Yosef Korkus, he was from the generation of Gerush Svarad. So I think he's like one generation before Rabbi Yosef Kaira, I guess, because Rabbi Yosef Kaira was like a little kid at the time of 1492. And then he ends up in Yerushalayim, and like a bunch of other people at the time, like the... Radvaz, and I think Kesef Mishnah too. So, the first Nosei Kalim on the Rambam is the Magid Mishnah, right? Who's, what's his name? Something Vital. Forget. Revital be something. Okay, whatever. Magid Mishnah. 1200s, Spain. He doesn't write on everything, and specifically, he does not write on Sefer Zraim, Sefer Avoda, Sefer Karbanos, and Sefer Tara. Why were those probably low on his priority list?
Because they were Halachon.
100%, right? So they were on the Rambam's priority list, but Magid Mishnah doesn't get to them. So Mari Korkus and others, including Radvaz, this generation in the 1500s, right, after the expulsion from Spain, who are learning in Mitzrayim, in Eretz Yisrael, and Turkey, and they're writing, they're kind of, you know, finishing out the commentaries on the Mishnah Torah. He ended up in Yerushalayim, right? Yeah, I think he was in Mitzrayim, and then he goes to Yerushalayim, right? Yeah, it's like a cool story, right? And he was expelled from Spain, and then he finishes in Yerushalayim writing Pirushim on you know, halachos karbanos. It's good stuff. What? Okay, so, well, we talked about the Radvaz, right? Radvaz is the one I want to make Lupi on. Right, Radvaz, who the story of how he got, when he moved to Yerushalayim to be the judge, when he was 80 years old. I thought we talked about this. I thought in when we did Sanhedrin, I'm almost positive we talked about this. Yeah, so the Radvaz, okay, quick. No, we should save that for 9:30 because it's already 9:11. Okay, so Mari Korkis, let's try to do this a little more quickly. Mari Korkis says it more explicitly, and this seems to be what the Kesed Mishnah meant. He says, you have to understand, the what allows the legal mechanism to allow doing the halacha with your left hand is menachos chafei. The legal mechanism to allow you to walk the Ketores with your left hand is that's just the clear conclusion you get from the Pesukim, right? Nahachi echshe rachmana, read the Pesukim, that's what the Torah seems to say, so that's what allows you to do with your left hand. The reason is not that it's impossible, because that wouldn't be a good enough reason to allow holacha b'smol. Reason holacha b'smol is mutter is because the Torah, is because Torah allowed it. But why did the Torah allow it? What was the cause of the echshir rachmana? Wasn't an arbitrary decision. The reason why the Torah allowed it, right, was because it would be difficult to impossible to do otherwise, right? That's what he argues. So you have to understand, when the Rambam gives you this reason, he's not telling you the legal, you know, alpi din, what's the matir of smol. The matir of smol is not that it's challenging or that it's impossible. That's not enough. The matir of smol is the Torah. The reason, right, Ram wants to give you the reason why the Torah said what it said, right? It wasn't an arbitrary decision that Hashem made, right? The reason why Torah matured it is because it's impossible, and he really, really, you know, emphasizes how it's not just difficult, it is impossible. You will not, you know, you'll not be able to do it. You will not be able to bring in that hot and heavy Ketores with your left hand. So that is why Echshe Rachmanah. So what he does is, right, is he combines Menachos Chafhei with Yuma Mem Zayin, and that's what he says for the Rambam. Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think that's what the Kesef Mishnah was trying to say as well. Although, I mean, you know, Mariah Quirkus was doing it in a full column down here, while the Kesef Mishnah did it in four lines. One thing that's really interesting, though, is that the Kesef Mishnah added in an element that he didn't need to add, which is he said, "Halacha b'smol b'dam pasla midoraisa mishum d'efshar below hilach." Right. So why did he have to add that phrase? Oh, right. You know, halacha by karbanos. So left hand, it's pasul. Why? Because you need to walk the blood. Right. Walking the blood is necessary. Which, as we know, is not always true. But let's say 90% of the time it's true, right? But the implication you get from there is that in a world where it was afshar, right, in a world where it was afshar to do halacha of the dam, then you would be able to use your left hand, right? That's what the Kesef Mishnah seems to imply. Which means that even in a second answer, the Kesef Mishnah seems to be holding on to this idea of halacha as a second class citizen of avoda, right? Because otherwise he doesn't need to tell me that, right? So, you know, for sure the first answer, when he said that it's midrabanan to use the left hand, but even the second answer, which is basically him as the Mariah Korkis, again, bleeding in there is his avoda gerua, avoda ina chashuva perspective of halacha. Okay, right, while the Mariah Korkis doesn't have it. Okay, the Mariah Korkis we have, I think, is a pretty solid explanation for the Rambam. There's one problem, which is we still don't have a really good understanding of what Rosh Hashas was saying, right? We said we could handle Rosh Hashas because we could just have him paskin like Rav Ashi, but we would like Rosh Hashas to agree with this, you know, really compelling idea that, like, you know, read the Pesukim and it seems like the Torah allowed you to walk the Ketores at your left hand, right? And if that's like the clear and conclusive read of the Pesukim, then how can Rav Sheshes make general extrapolations from it to all other halachos which are ever done in the Beis HaMikdash? So that's kind of, the major outstanding problem that we have, right? What is the relationship between halacha of the Ketores and halacha of everything else? So the Rav deals with this, Rav Chaim doesn't, but we have to talk about Rav Chaim first because he kind of, A, what he says is really important of its own right, and B, it sets up what the Rav had to say. So this is the Rav Chaim for this is, we saw part of it already, because this is the same Rav Chaim, right, which deals with the concept of yamin, right? Brief refresher, right? What's bothering Rav Chaim, when you remember, right, is when you walk in the Ketores, right? So how would you hold your Ketores during the whole year? Would you be holding the incense, the Kli Sharis directly? No, right? Instead, you're holding a kaf, right? You're holding a big ladle, and the bazach is in the kaf, right? So Rav Chaim's question was what? Chatzitza, right? You need to hold the Kli Sharis itself. What are you doing holding a Kli Sharis? Okay. So he ends up kind of developing two different answers to that question and kind of collapsing them into one. But the main point he makes about halacha of Ketores, right? This is in this, I think I underlined, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what is he saying here in this first underline? I underlined basically the whole paragraph. That's great. Yeah, so let's read it. Right? Anyone want to take it? No? Okay, I'll do the first one. So this is really important, right? Holacha, we've been assuming the whole time, holacha is an avoda, right? But what about walking the Ketores, right? So Lisa, we're kind of coming back to your point from before. It's back. What about Ketores, right? Ketores is not the same as Karbanos. Is holacha of incense, walking the Ketores into the Mizbeach HaZahav during the year, do we have any evidence that that is an avoda? So the truth is, apparently, I'll take Rav Chaim's word for it, that if I go through all Shas Bavli, Yerushalmi, and Medrash Halacha, I will find no evidence that there is holacha, an avoda of holacha for a regular Ketores. Okay, take his word for it. Tafel gav debi yuma daf memches, right? On yuma memches. Maisi, and that should be amid base. I don't know why that's amid. No. Yeah, that should be amid base. I don't know why they put amid aleph there.
You said, I'm just confused why it's not into. Sense.
Right. In other words, there's no when during the year when the Kohen Hedyot, right, takes the Ketores from the Ketores office, right, which is the Lishka where they made the incense outside in the Azara. So we have no evidence that when he walks from that office into the Kodesh that halacha is an avoda. Okay. Alfagav d'miyumadaf memchas ma'isi hagamara le'inyan halacha b'smol. Right, we try to prove from Holacha of Ketores that you can use your left hand for all halachas, right? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hare de chashiva avodas halacha. So right at the end of the second line. So mikomakam yishlomar, that when do we say that Holacha of Ketores is an avoda? Mikomakam yishlomar, de kol zehu, dafka b'ketores de lifnai v'lifnim. We can say that there is only an avoda of Holacha when you are doing not the year-round Ketores to the Mizbeach HaZahav, right? There's only an avodah of halacha when you're doing the halacha where? In the Kodesh HaKadashim, which happens once a year on Yom Kippur, right? That's a totally different halacha. And he says, you know, I'm not just making this up, right? This, I have support, again, from the Pasuk. D'ne'emar ba din hava lifnim. Right? There's a halacha, right? There's a din, there's a halacha concept of bringing it inside from where? Kedichsev bakra vehevi mi beis laparochas, right? Because the pasuk said v'lakach melo machta gach la'esh, right? Melo chafnav ketores samim, right? Daka, right? Vehevi mi beis laparochas, right? He said you take these things and you bring them into the parochas. So bringing them right there, that is the avoda of holacha, which Torah is calling hava, right? Rav Chaim is assuming that hava and holacha are the same thing. V'al karkach, hava asa chashuva avoda solacha, right? It must be that when you're bringing this in, that has the status of avoda. Masha inkein b'ketores teheichal lo matzino kol sheheba din holacha. V'imkein yishlomar de'ein din holachta avoda kol, right? So we can argue that there is no concept, there is no avoda of halacha for regular Ketores. There is only a concept of, there is only an avoda of halacha for Ketores of Yom Kippur. And if that's the case, so are we going to be bothered by chatzitza of ketores during the year? Absolutely not, right? Because if it's not navoda, then there is no problem of ketores. Okay. Good. We don't really have, did you guys work through this, Rechaim? You did? Oh, okay, good. So then we could take a minute to talk about it. So did you understand what his main proof was? He thought he had a concrete proof that that besides his assumption that it's not Navoda, so Rav Chaim thought he had a proof that regular ketores during the year can be carried with the left hand. Did that ring a bell at all? Right before Menachot Yod Gimel, the Mishnah in Tamid, which says that the way he would burn the ketores was he'd take it out of the pan and then he'd bring it over to the mizbeach and then he'd sprinkle it on the mizbeach. So Rav Chaim assumes that when you are bringing it from the pan to the mizbeach with your hands, so he assumes that was a holacha, shalom b'rega. So he thought that was. So if that's the case, if that is a holacha, when you take your hands of ketores and you bring them, so you're using both hands, right? So Urchaim says, I found a proof that that holacha can be done, that the ketores can be molicht with your left hand, right? Because when you do this, that consists of holacha b'smol. It's not so convincing, and the Rav didn't like it. So that's what Rav Chaim's argument is. So then Rav Chaim says, wait a second. If I'm correct, right, this is just really smart. If I'm correct that all halacha of ketores can be done with the left hand, so I have to ask a big question from Menachos Daf Chafhei.
I wanted to focus specifically on Yom Kippur.
1,000%, right? Why? What do you mean? Why are you focusing on Yom Kippur? You should ask about halacha of all ketores, right? So why only halacha of Yom Kippur ketores? Elamai must be. What's the conclusion from Chafhei? Then we said that there is something unique, hutter miklalo, about the ketores of Yom Kippur. Why don't we consider halacha of other ketores?
It's
not navoda, right? It must be. It's not even a navoda. So it's not navoda, and therefore smol is okay, and therefore chatzitz is okay. Right, whereas Ketores of the rest of Yom Kippur is an avoda, and that's because the pasuk had emphasized the hevi mi beis laparochas, which is very cool. And what?
It was so cool.
Yeah, and not only that, but it works beautifully with the whole idea we had talked about before of, you know, really the Ketores is all about the going into lefnai v'lefnim, right? So it shouldn't be surprising that there you have the once in a lifetime avoda of holacha for Ketores, because it's all about bringing this into the Kodesh HaKadashim. Okay, that's what Rav Chaim says. His grandson's not so happy. The Rav is not so happy because he's just not so convinced. He could totally be right about everything in here. He just doesn't like the proof from the Mishnah and Talmud, right? Rav Chaim's proof that the ketores has to, you can use your left hand from when you bring it like that, the Rav wasn't so convinced that doing this really must be considered a halacha. And the Rav was also bothered, why on earth would Rosh Hashas dream of extrapolating from halacha to halacha sektores of Yom Kippur to all other halachas? Right? That still needs to be explained. So he has an equally brilliant idea, although I don't understand how some of it works. Just at the end. Okay. Did anybody get to see it?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Right, so the basic move he has, right, he says we have to understand that there's not one halacha involved in bringing the ketores, right, but there are actually two. And this part makes a lot of sense. Right, what are the two dinim, what are two things that are happening when you bring your ketores into the Kodesh HaKadashim?
Well, you have for the korban element, actually having the korban get done, and then you have the kiyum of halacha.
Okay, but how's that different from? from anything else that you ever do?
Because even if it's pasul, the halacha, you've still done the action, and therefore the korban itself works. Like, the korban's not chaser because you didn't do halacha, but halacha is.
Okay, so I'm saying... He thinks that when you're doing a kedas v'chadin, right? You're doing a totally excellent, wonderful, bringing in the Torah to the Kodesh HaKadashim. He says when you're doing that, you're actually doing two different things simultaneously. There are two kiyumim that are going on here. One is the regular halacha, right? The regular standard, you know, bringing in the Torah. Right, and then the way he sets it up is that there's a second unique halacha, right? Rav Chaim thought that Behevi Mibes Aparocha has told you that the halacha of Yom Kippur is unique. So the Rav assumes that it's not that the halacha of Yom Kippur is unique, he assumes there's a separate din of Hava, right? Behevi Mibes Aparocha. And his proof, and it's a good one, is that Behevi Mibes Aparocha, what are you heving? What are you bringing in the Pasuk? You're bringing two things into the Kodesh HaKadosh into the Pasuk, right? You're not only bringing the Ketores, V'hevim Yibes HaParochas is also going on, Mulamachta Gachlayesh, exactly, right? So he says that those are two different things. There's definitely no idea of Holachas HaMachta, right? There's no Holacha for the Kohls. The Kohls are just a Hechsher Mitzvah. So you have Holacha of Ketores, and you have the Hevim Yibes HaParochas, the second unique din germane to the bringing in stuff to the Kodesh HaKadashim, which includes both the Ketores and the Gach LaYesh. So, he says, let's see. Of those two, right, the regular Holacha Saketores and the Hava'a of everything, from which one of those two Halachos do we see that you're going to use your left hand for the Ketores? Second one, right? Because the first one is just focused on the Ketores. In a world of only Ketores, I could bring in Ketores with my right hand, right? It's the din of Hava, which requires me to use my left hand. So there about use Rosh Hashanah. This is great because Rosh Hashanah is going to say Menachos Chafhei. We talked about the special heter of Smol. So that was talking about which din? That was talking about the din of Hava, right? Of my bringing in my ketores and my coals at the same time, right? So that's where we had the heter of the left hand. When it comes to, but what about the underlying regular standard holacha, right? What about that? Okay, so I have to use my left hand for one of these two things, right? I have to use my left hand either for coals or for incense. What tells me that I could use my left hand for the incense, right? As that was Lecha Mishnah's argument for Rav Sheshes, right? Because it's difficult, that's not a good reason, right? So on that point is where Rav Sheshes is going to jump in and extrapolate from halacha of the Ketores to halacha of everything else. You're right, there's a din of hava. I have to bring everything in together, and Abaye was talking about that, Amenachos Chafhei, and there you're certainly using your left hand for something. But what about regular, right, you know, walking quietly underneath the big, exciting halacha of Hava Saktores is our standard mitzvah of halacha Saktores. Why is that done with the left hand? Ah, must be that all halacha come in with the left hand. So concludes Rav Sheshes. Okay. It's 9:29. Question is, so did you see his what he says for the Rabbanan? It's a brilliant move, and it's a very, this is like elite.
You had a hard time.
Elite lundus here. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. So the argument is as follows. The problem that the Rabban are going to have, right, is if indeed there is a standard holacha of Ketores, what allows you to use your left hand for that regular holacha of the Ketores, right? That's what was bothering us And that's what's motivating Rav Sheshes. What allows you to use your, the halacha, to use your left hand? So the Rav argues, well, let's see. What's the problem with doing halacha with your left hand? So he argues that if you do halacha with your left hand, it's as if you didn't do a halacha. Right? Halacha b'smo, kimanda leisa dami. Right? If you did halacha with your left hand, it's as if you didn't do halacha. It's just, it's non-existent. It doesn't register on the halachic Richter scale. If you want us to notice your halacha, turn your halacha to register, must be done with your right hand. If it's done with left hand, it's as if it didn't happen. Can we say that the halacha of the Ketores, if done with the left hand, didn't happen? Well, no. We can't deny that it happened, because there's a second kiyum involved. What did you fulfill when you walked your Ketores with left hand? Hava, right? You fulfilled Hava. So we can't say that it in our halachic perspective, it teleported from point A to point B, because it didn't teleport. It got there via my kiyum of Hava, right? So once we say that it didn't teleport because I was maybe the Ketores, so Baal Karchinu, we're also forced to say that we also did a holacha of the Ketores. It was done with the left hand, but you can't deny that it was walked, because if in one area the halacha recognizes that it was walked, then in a second area halacha must recognize that it was walked as well. That's like an elite move right there. It's a good concept to know how to use. This concept comes up, for example, in Gid Hanasha, right? So we have halacha very quickly. We have halacha that ein begidin benosein tam, right? So that's your tendons have no flavor, right? So that has all these nafkamin in your day. So the Rambam says if you have the gid hanasha of a pig, right? So the gid hanasha of a pig, you don't violate anything. Why? Because it's, well, you know, if you eat gidin of trafe animals, right, so you haven't violated anything because they're gidin. Fine. If I eat the gidinash of a pig, I haven't violated anything. I eat the gidinash of a pig, so it, shouldn't that be gidinash? Shouldn't that be pig? No, right? It's inedible tendon. Okay. But if I eat the gidhanash of a novela, right, of a cow, which was a novela, so the Rambam says I have violated two averas. I have violated the avera of Gid Hanasha, and I have violated the avera of novela. So why is it that if you eat the Gid Hanasha of a novela, you violate novela, but if you eat the Gid Hanasha of a pig, you haven't violated anything? So the answer is that once the Gid Hanasha is recognized as a food, right, because you can't eat the Gid Hanasha of any animal, of any kosher animal, so it's now recognized as food in all purposes, right? So the Gid Hanasha of a novela, not only is it recognized as Gid Hanasha, it'll also be recognized as novela, right? So that's, you know, if the halacha is recognizing this exists in one area, then we have to recognize in the other area as well, right? So that's really what the Rav is saying here as well. That if the Ketores, if we're saying that it didn't teleport because it was done with the left hand, we recognize that it got there because you filled your din of Hava, so we must say that you filled your din of Halacha as well. Okay, that's why the Rabbanan are going to disagree with Sheshes. I understand this may be a little bit unclear because I'm going very quickly. So what can you do? The only problem I have is that why does the Rav assume that a Halacha that's done with left hand is as if you didn't do anything? He says, you can't do a Halacha that's possible. You can just do a Halacha that didn't count. So it just doesn't seem to be true. It seems to be that halacha b'smol is not a halacha that didn't happen. It seems like you have halachos which can passel your carbon. The Rambam says you can do halacha, if you do a halacha shlo l'shma, you can't go back and do a second halacha. You've passeled your carbon. So it seems like the Rambam does think that halacha can, it's not just that it didn't exist if it was done improperly, but it's that it was passel. So I don't know what to do about that. Okay, fine. You guys have to go probably 9:35. Okay. What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's time for a story, but not for my idea. Okay, I got it. No problem. I'll write the idea and send it. And then you can judge. So the story of the Radvaz, I'll just turn off the recorder.
Tell us your idea.
Okay, fine. I'll tell you. Good. Okay, so awesome. Okay, good.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to start.
This was the idea that was finalized on the Sava. Yeah. Okay. So the basic problem we had was that why should efshar be enough to allow doing the Ketores with your left hand, right? That just doesn't seem so compelling. So, one second. Yeah, so the answer that we gave, which made sense, right, Mari Korkas' answer, was that, no, it's not that the reason why it's mutter is that it's impossible. The reason, the Torah allowed it, and the Torah allowed it because it was impossible, right? And that made a lot of sense. But why was it impossible, right? So the Torah allowed it because it was impossible. Okay, so we've created a situation that it's impossible, and therefore the Torah is matir. But why was it impossible? So it was impossible because the Torah said that you have to do it all in one shot, right? So why did you have to do it all in... why did you have to do it all in one shot? Exactly, right? So that's what I think the Chum are going to say. So Rav Sheshes, I think, is going to say, look, you could have brought in the Ketores, and you could have brought in the coals in two separate shots. You do it once, it's convenient, it's quick, it's efficient, and the Torah says that's what you do. But if holacha, the only way that it makes sense, says Rav Sheshes, to allow you to just bring it all in one shot and just say, we'll live with the impossible situation, is if we were okay with holacha being done with your left hand in the first place. If holacha needed to be done with the right hand, then the Torah would say, do X and then do Y, right? The only reason the Torah is okay telling you to do it all together, right? You can do it more quickly, more efficiently that way. That must indicate that we have no fundamental problem with halacha bismol. Because, yeah, the Torah tells us you can do it because it's impossible, but the Torah made it impossible, right? I think that's probably what Rav Sheshes' Svara is going to be, right? He's going to kind of agree with Mari Korkas, but just say, why do we have to have that situation in the first place? Oh, it must be that we're okay with halacha bismol, and therefore you can do it all in one shot. So the Chum are going to say no, right? Why do we have to have this impossible situation, right? Why do we have efshar? Why do we tell you to do the ketores together with the coals? Not because we're not because we're just trying to be quick and convenient, and you can do it all together. And so you're right; it creates a bidyeved situation because you're going to have to do something with your left hand. But we don't really care if you use something with your left hand, so just go for it. No. You bring it all together because, exactly, right, as Payne was saying, because there is a din of hava. You are supposed to take your ketores, you are supposed to take your coals, and you are bringing this in. You are going from your chafina, and now you are coming into the Kodesh HaKadosh, right? That goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the year, that this is really all about the hava, right? You're not going in once and going in twice. The whole point is the act of going into the Kodesh HaKadosh, right? And you're going in with your stuff, but you don't go in and go back and go out again. The whole point of the avoda is the hava, right? That's the real kiyum. Is not the for the sake of the stuff. You're not going in for the sake of the stuff. You're going in for the sake of going in, right? And so, of course, it has to have the ketores and the machta together. Not because, right, I'm saving time by bringing them in together, like I think Rav Sheshes would say, but because the real kiyum is the hava. And that is going to be hutter miklalo, totally different from all other halachos. That's what I thought you could. That's what I thought you could say to explain why Rav Sheshes and the Chum are going to disagree. You basically take Mari Korkas, but then just have Rav Sheshes and the Chum arguing if it makes sense to say Mari Korkas or not. Does that make sense? Or is mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Good. Thank you for letting me say it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. The story with the Radvaz, if you want to stay. Basically, he lived in Mitzrayim his whole life. He was 80 years old. He was invited to Yerushalayim where they wanted him to serve as a judge, as a dayan. So he said, okay, I'll do it on condition that it's not official because the Ottoman Empire is, like, really annoying, and for me to be, like, passed as the official dayan of Yerushalayim,